Well, good evening, church. Welcome to Wednesday night service at Thomas Village Baptist Church, and I'm so glad you're here this evening. And hope everyone's had a blessed day and a good week. And there's no better place to be in the house of the Lord. So let's stand and sing number 483, Footsteps of Jesus. 483.
Good evening, y'all. It's good to see y'all. Good to be in the house of the Lord. And it's good to see sunlight today, wasn't it? A beautiful sunshine. Tonight, again, it's good to have you. We'll be in the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and 22. But Brother John, would you open us up in a word of prayer as we get going? Amen. Again, whether you're watching by Facebook or listening by the radio or here with us, it's good to have you and thankful that you've made the effort. Before we get into our prayer time and our study as you turn to Revelations 21, do we have any words of praise or testimony? Amen. Amen. Well, could somebody get me a prayer list out of the vestibule, please? I don't know what I did. I had an updated one, and I've left it somewhere. Praise the Lord. He's brought us all back together. And thank you, sister. I want to tell, sir? Amen. Amen. I forgot what it looked like. I do want to thank everyone that has loved on Brother Jeff and Sister Amy through everything. It was a a sweet funeral. If a funeral can be sweet, there was a sweet spirit there, and thankful for everyone that cooked and prepared and did all to feed them. And only time will tell, eternity, how much they've been blessed. Any other praise reports before we go into our prayer needs tonight? Amen. Amen. We do want to continue to pray for all the bereaved this week, the Haas family. I think it was Sister Melissa's aunt. She was a Daniels. Y'all remember Liz Daniels? And then y'all got Mr. Noah's tomorrow night, and then Mr. Flannery's on Friday, correct? So continue to pray there. We also want to pray for Eddie and Michelle Bowen, a bishop, Tony and Lynn Bowen, Judy Bowery, Lynn Bias, Wilma Daniels, Lizzie Daniels family, David and Eddie Duncan, Chris and Caitlin Cole, and she's been put on bed rest, am I correct?
Next Friday.
If she don't get it, they give it, they're going to take it. That's it. The Larry Flannery family, Sally Grevy, Harley Gunner, Pastor Brian and family, Merle Haas family, Lottie Johnson, Melanie Lester, also Brother Josh, he's got a bad tooth. Our van ministry, our lost, our nation's leaders, Linda Phillips, Danny and Sherry Roten, Leonard and Nancy Roten, had a good talk with her just before church, and they've had a stomach bug on top of everything that's going on there. Doris Smith, Virginia Spence family, Fred and Shirley Sullivan, Noah Taylor family, and those that are traveling. Anyone else tonight? Johnny Steele. Hall, Terry. Thank you. Anyone else? I got them wrote down on the one I was supposed to bring with me. And then also remember the Mosher family, Miss Denise. If God doesn't change, it won't be long till she goes on into eternity. So continue to pray there. Anyone else? Natasha? How's she doing? Continue to pray for Sister Jenny McKinney as well. She's mending. And all unspoken. Amen. We all do. All right. If you're feeling led, come to the altar. It's always available. And remember, the altar isn't just about confessing sins, but it's about worship, reverence, and just submitting to the King of Kings. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I do thank you for this day. And God, as it's already been said, thank you for the sunshine, the breeze, the rain, all that is in nature, Lord. You've given it to us as a gift. And Lord, I thank you for salvation. And I thank you, God, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and that you've secured me. And Lord, there's nothing that can separate me from you. And God, I pray tonight that you just forgive me of my sins, Lord. And thank you, God, that you're strong enough and powerful enough, Lord, that anything that would come against mine in your relationship, you're able to fend it off. And God, tonight you know the situations in each and every prayer need that we've called out, whether it be physical, emotional, Lord, it be spiritual, God, and you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above anything that's needed. And so, Lord, tonight we just invite you to be in the midst of our service. Give us understanding and wisdom in your scriptures, and let us leave here better knowing you. And just, Lord, be like the tent prop in the middle of the line, Lord, to hold us up as we get through this week. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Revelations 21. But before we do that, something special we've been talking about, and I've kindly just procrastinated. But Sister Bessie, would you just stand and everybody knows you, but just tell them who you are and all that.
That's Tyson. I'd like to be called a railroad.
Amen. I've asked her the questions. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If God's calling you here, then He's got a role for you. And are you willing to serve where God puts you? And if there is a sin that gets in your life and you need help with it, that you'll come and allow us. So it's not a question of salvation, but that. And she's already got to work, as you can tell, with Juana and in the choir. And so we're excited about having her here. But if you're thankful for her, just say amen.
Amen.
All righty. Tonight we're going to kind of have a rerun, I guess you might say. Through everything that's been going on this week, my heart and mind has just been on eternity. And so let's look here in the book of Revelations first, Revelations 21, beginning in verse 1, and we'll read through verse 5. If you're there, say amen. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a voice from the throne, "Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous or the first things have passed away." All right, now turn over to Revelations 22, and we'll read the first five verses in it. You ready? "Then he showed me the river of the water of life. It is clear as crystal and flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. It runs down the middle of the city's main street. The tree of life is on each side of the river's bearing 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. There will be no longer any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. Night will be no more. People will not need the light of a lamp or of the sun, because the Lord God will light it, and they will reign forever and ever." And may God add the blessings to His Scripture. It just still kind of boggles the mind that three of the Thomas Village families between Friday and Saturday lost four loved ones. I mean, that is just kind of overwhelming. And then I was talking with someone that was reading the obituary and said that one day there was one in the obituary and then the next day there were 17. And we're just living in weird times, you know, and it's just, we feel like there's a cloud almost sometimes that's hanging over us, and you're just waiting on the next shoe to drop, or we're looking for the next bad thing or the next worst thing. And I was going to speak tonight out of the book. Matter of fact, I worked on it half the morning, but I was going to preach about weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. But I got to thinking, and how much do we actually think about heaven? How much do we actually look ahead at what God has for us, and that we can look with anticipation? That's why He's given us these things. It's funny that we'll spend so much more time in heaven than we have here on earth, but yet we really don't think a lot about it. But I got to thinking about the verse of Scripture, Sister Donna, that you mentioned Sunday night about what we're to think upon. And it's Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And it says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is any praise, dwell on these things." So what are we occupying our thought life with? What are we thinking about? And so if you remember back in September when we had the picnic around that time, I preached on the idea of heaven being real. And I'm going to want us to do that again tonight. I want us to look back on it, because I think that it's for us to remember these things. You remember in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when Paul is talking to the Thessalonian church about the sleeping brothers and sisters. And in Thessalonians 4, it begins verse 13. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, concerning those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope. Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, in the same way God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. For we say to you by revelation from the Lord, we who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly have no advantage over those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. How weird would it be if we just had a conversation all about heaven? Have you ever heard a conversation, just someone talking to someone else about heaven? Have you ever heard somebody just talking about the day of the rapture or the day that Christ comes and sets his feet here on earth? But those are the things that our minds should be dwelling upon. And then in 2 Peter, reason I called it a rerun, in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 12 it says, Peter told the church he was writing to, therefore I will always remind you about those things, even though you know them and are established in the truth that you now have. I think it is right as long as I am in the bodily tent to wake you up with a reminder, since I know that I will soon lay my tent aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has indeed made clear to me. And I will also make every effort so that you are able to recall these things at any time after my departure. So the idea is, I'm just going to keep packing it in there. I'm going to, and you may already know it, and you may have heard it 100 times, but I'm going to give it to you 101 times. And that way, when I'm gone, at least I know you've heard it. So tonight, let's talk a little bit about heaven and that fact that one day we will stand on the golden street. One day we'll be on this river where the tree of life is, and we'll see all that's been described here. The first thing is that heaven is a real place, and we need to expect it and look forward to going there. 73% of Americans believe in a place called heaven. And the Bible makes it clear. It talks about the place where God dwells, whether it be in paradise, as it said about Abraham's bosom, or whether it be what we know as heaven right now, where God is, and or it may be the new earth. It doesn't matter what it is. It is what God, or the name is. It is the place where God is and where he has determined that we'll spend an eternity with him. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 21. Hear the petitions of your servant and your people Israel, which pray toward this place. May you hear your dwelling in your dwelling place in heaven. Tonight when we pray, though we may not know where it's at or know the directions, there is a literal place where God abides. Stephen, you remember, he was the first deacon. What did he see as he was getting ready to cross over into glory? Acts chapter 7, verse 5. But Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven, and he saw God's glory with Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And then you're in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul spoke of three heavens, and he said that he saw things there that he could not speak, that he could not say. And so tonight, let's begin to try to think about those good and honorable and holy things. And heaven is one of those places. How many of you get caught up in thinking about heaven? I might have told y'all this before. Well, I dream about heaven, but it's not in color. I don't know why. It's in black and white. Any of y'all, tell me what you picture heaven as. All right, go ahead. Yeah, we're going to talk about them. Mm-hmm.
With a halo, like a rainbow, like an emerald.
I don't kind of go that that deep, but you know how in the center of a town square, you know that there's usually a fountain or something like that in the middle. That's where I believe that the throne of the Lord is sitting, and that there's a rainbow. There's a rainbow that proceeds out of that. The gemstones, all of the colors, and all that. But here's what's awesome about it: the glory of our Lord outshines it all. All of that, just how awesome that is, and the glowing gemstones and the lightnings and all that, and the angels that are crying, holy, holy, all of that is going to be like fuzzy background noise compared to who our Lord is. So praise God, as we're at these funerals, huh? That's why I think we're going to have new bodies and all that, because our minds cannot contain what we're going to see, you know. But the reality of heaven, and you know, I bet this week when we mourn the loss of a saved loved one, we're not sorry for them. We're sorry for ourselves, because they've woken up in a reality that, praise God, that's the whole idea. I'll never forget Brother Gary Edwards. They've graduated. They've went to that next level, and hallelujah, that's what we're all striving for, right? That's where we want to get to. So heaven is a real place. Hallelujah. And he said it, not because the writers or any theologian said it, but because our God said that he's going to prepare a place for us. All right, any thoughts on the reality of heaven? Do you know anybody that doesn't believe in heaven? I do too. That's sad though, isn't it? That once you die, you're just dead. It's over. All right, the next thing is that heaven has its own economy. And we talked a little bit about that the past couple of Sundays. But in Revelation 21, 18, beginning in 18, this is where those stones come in. And I'm not going to pronounce all of them right, I promise. But it says, the building material of the wall, which goes around the city, was jasper. And the city was pure gold, clear as glass. I've never even seen gold that's clear. Have you? I've seen brilliant yellow, but I've never seen it. Verse 19, Revelation 21:19. The fountain of the city is first jasper, which is a diamond, I think. The second is a sapphire, which would be blue. The third is chalcedony, milky grayish white. Yeah. And the fourth is an emerald, which would be green. The fifth is sardonyx, which a rusty copper look. The sixth, carnelian, which was a red brick. The seventh, chrysolite, or a pale green. The eighth is beryl, and there was not a definite color that I got for that one. Many colors. And the ninth is topaz, which is a metallic dark blue. The tenth is chrysoprase, a kind of a foam green, an ocean green. The 11th is jacinth, a deep orange, with the 12th being amethyst, which is a purple, I believe. Then there are the 12 gates, which are 12 pearls. Each individual gate is of a single pearl. And the main street of that city is pure, transparent gold. Now, notice something there. Doesn't say all streets are gold. It says that Main Street is gold. So that's good theology just to know there. But think about the beauty of this. And if you remember about the... yes, ma'am. And again, we know them as under the curse. I mean, we've got to remember that too. We know them under the curse. We've not yet seen the pureness. Could you imagine how it looked. No, we can't. In the garden, when God first created all things. But the idea, the gems have played a role in what God has for his people going all the way back to the temple. You remember the breastplates that they would wear. And I haven't done it, but I'd say if you compare them, you're going to find, what was that? Are in the, and so, and well, it does say, Exodus 28:17, in the high priest garb, it says that they had a row of carnelian, topaz and emeralds. The second was turquoise, sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, jacinth, agate, and amethyst. The fourth, beryl, onyx, and jasper. John MacArthur says that jasper in this passage is to be defined as the clearest, purest, and most pristine diamond that has ever been. And I want to say this. That ring that you got, Sister Lexi, that's one of the most prettiest diamonds I've ever seen in my life. I saw sparkles for 15 minutes after I looked at that the first time. But that is nothing compared to what we're going to see when we get to heaven. And then the idea of the pearls, you know, and in that we see the love that comes through suffering. You know how the pearl or the oyster gets the piece of sand in it, and it secretes whatever it secretes, and it covers the grain of sand, and it just continues to do it. But it's out of the irritation comes the beauty. And those gates will be a reminder that God allowed his son to suffer and to be broken and wounded. And but then we see the streets of gold and all that's there. But yet, that doesn't mean anything in the economy of heaven, right? There, I mean, you're not going to be seeing people chisel it or try to take it out or get them some and take it back to the house and hide it under the bed. No, that's going to be, again, the idea that it's going to pale in comparison to our Lord. Remember, we talked about it on Sunday, about the honey and the gold. I think it's Psalms 19, verses 9 and 10. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinance of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous. They are more desirable than gold, than the abundance of pure gold, and sweeter than honey, which comes from the honeycomb. You see, and praise God, he's going to give us a new mind that we'll be able to look and we'll see all the beautiful stones and the pearls in the streets, but yet it'll still be more about him, more about our Lord Jesus Christ. So heaven is real, and we've got to learn a new economy because we're going to be there for all of eternity. So we need to go ahead and be focusing on the reality of heaven and begin to value what heaven values. Remember, we're citizens of that kingdom. We're strangers and pilgrims here on this earth. We've already been written in the census book, the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the basically what we would call the census of all who are being glory. The next thing is this, is that heaven is well beyond the range of our imagination. When I was at Clear Creek, we had one teacher, I think it was in drama or something like that, but she said, she used the verse that about that eye hath not seen nor ear hath heard or entered into the heart of man what God has in store for those that love him. And she would say this, that as believers we should have the biggest and wildest imagination of any people that live, because if we can imagine it, our Lord can outdo it. But look in verse 2 of Revelation 21. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. And then in Revelation 21:15 and following, it says, the one who spoke with me had a golden measuring rod to measure the city, the gates, and the walls. The city is laid out square, with the length and width being the same. He measured the city with the rod at 12,000 stadia, which is basically 200 furlongs, 200 yards, and its length, width, and height are equal. Then he measured the city walls 144 cubits according to human measurements. Now, again, you know me long enough, y'all have known me long enough to know I'm not good at reading and pronouncing stuff and doing math. But if I got my math right, that means that it is 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles wide, and 1,400 miles high, which is a total of 2,744,000,000 square feet. I'll read that again. 2,744,000,000 square feet. And you know what that means? Nothing, because it just blowed our brains right out of our head right then. I mean, and that's just the capital. I mean, there's going to be a new, everything's made fresh and new, but that's the capital city. It doesn't need a sun. We won't need any lamps or anything like that. Why? Because the throne is going to glow. Not just the throne, but God himself, Christ Jesus, will be the light. The radiance and the glory will shine. Our minds can't contain it. Again, what is it? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, what eye did not see and ear did not hear, and what never entered in the human mind, God has prepared for those that love him. I mean, what's the biggest city you've ever been in? New York? Mine's been Knoxville, I reckon. That's about the biggest one. No, Atlanta, and I make Amy drive through there because I ain't going to mess with all that. But think about the splendor of those big buildings. And in Atlanta, we had the Golden Dome, where the Capitol. And you could be ways away, and you could see the sun hitting down on that. And it's just marvelous, the architecture and things like that. But God's going to just, nothing will compare to it. Any thoughts about the, what other than Christ, about the city, what are you longing to see? What's going to be your first tourist site when you get to glory? Mm-hmm. That'll probably be after a few million years, though, you know, after we've been around the throne. Anybody else? Yes. We can come and go. Will Simon Peter be standing at the gate to let us in and out? No, I don't think so. I don't either. Mm-hmm. No. Imagine the tool that you'd have to cut one gate out of that pearl. You see what, you know, if you've got the big pearl, that's how my mind works. That's kind of, anybody else? Hey, I'm past that stage in my life. Past that stage. But think about it. You talk about it. We started as a race, we started in the garden, kind of like a simple native type setting, but he's taking us from the wilderness or the wild and bringing us into the city. He's making something out of nothing. Again, we see the progression there. Anybody else? Any thoughts? There's and ain't they making no more?
Yeah. So can you imagine
how it takes to build a whole
city?
And then, you know, one neat thing is when you study the temple and how elaborate the temple is built and all the detail and the integral work, and there was no price spared. I mean, everything was top of the line. And you think he's going to do anything less in his city that bears his name? All right. So we see that heaven's real. Heaven is bigger than what our minds can contain. But also heaven is going to be a place where we're kept busy. It's not going to be a lot of downtime when we get to glory. Somebody name what some of the things you think we'll be doing in heaven. Offering praise. Did I hear? Singing and praising. Yeah. Anybody else? Specifically in Matthew, we may not know what the jobs are going to be, but we will have certain roles that we've called, just like we've been called to specific places and jobs here. Same thing in heaven. Matthew 25:21. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy." Revelation 5:10. You made them a kingdom and a priest to our God, and they will reign on the earth. So there'll be something that we'll be actively engaged in as citizens of that city. The one thing we know that we will be doing is serving God. We will be His slaves, His doulos. Revelation 22:3. And there will be no curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His redeemed servants will serve Him. And when you, the Bible talks about the countries and that we'll be going and coming, and almost like there's some trade or something like that's going on there. But it's there. Like I said, it is a city. It's its own nation, and there's going to be jobs and engagements and what we're called, roles we're called to do. We know that some will sit on judges' seats, and the nations will be judged by them. We'll be doing some eating and some feasting. Well, we like eating around here. So, hey, ain't nothing better than a taco buffet, right? I thought that was a perfect idea, though. I thought it was perfect. But the week before I preached this sermon, you remember we talked about the marriage feast and the marriage supper. And who knows how long, that's the thing, there'll be no more time. So we won't judge anything by time when we get there. But how long are we just going to sit around the table? I'm married into a family that loves to hang out with each other. I wasn't used to that. But they'll sit at the table for hours and just nibble on some cheese and crackers and talk to one another. Then they'll all, and praise God, there'll be reunions and relationships re-engaged. I just read it out of Thessalonians chapter 4, but it says that we'll join them together in the air. How long do you think it'll take us to meet everybody that we've known here on earth? I mean, it'll be like Walmart. I can't go out. I can't never go outside and I know somebody. But it's going to be amazing that when you see loved ones and you think about that, and that's what hurts us. We think we're never going to get to see them again. But God has made us promises, and we will see them. And it'll be in a place to where it'll never be taken away again. That relationship will be built. Then, like was said, the worship. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song. Think about that. We'll be able to sing a song that we can't sing here yet. You say, what do you mean? Well, we've not seen Him face to face yet. We've not felt His hands or been as close to Him to see the color of His beard on His face or the shape of His nose or the wrinkles or anything like that. But we will. And we'll be able to have a more deeply and passionate praise time. And then there's worship. And who knows what else? 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, what eye did not see, what ear has not heard, and what never entered into the human mind, God prepared this for those who love Him. Any other ideas about the tasks or the jobs that we may do in glory? Oh, I grant you. And that's another thing. You know, it says we'll know as we are known. And so how will that be? To pop her head off and put it in. I mean, we don't know. There's so much that we can ponder about this topic, but yet it's kind of one of those that we keep away because we've just never been taught to think about it. We've never been taught to ponder or to put time in this aspect of our religion, you know. The next thing is that when we get to heaven, we'll be free from the curse of sin and the effects of the curse. Revelation 21:3. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more hurting. There'll be no more pain or crying. Revelation 22:3. And will be no longer any curse. We as fallen people, we always wear the curse on us. You know that? We're broken people. And even when we're not thinking about it, that's these aches and pains on our body, the popping and cracking and the stiffness and all of that is from the curse. But there's coming a day when the body will be made brand new. All that, we won't know what it means to have any pain. And then the brain will be made brand new. You know, sometimes we can't help what goes in our minds. We want to be positive. We want to be an encourager. But just that natural sinful man goes through our mind. But it's not even going to be an option. Won't even be there. And think about the tears. How many tears have been cried this past week? How many nights have been spent in the bed? Red eyes. Bloodshot eyes. But not again. No longer. And I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know. We've talked about before. What about loved ones that die and go to hell? Will we remember them in heaven? How's that going to be? I don't know. But I know he's got it took care of. I know. I don't think we will. I don't. That which is sin is going to be cast away, and there'll be no memory of sin. There'll be no thought of sin. That's. Being as we're talking about heaven, you know, the Bible, I've got some friends that don't think that we'll remember our spouses. We won't know our spouses. Because, you know, we won't have that relationship because we won't need that relationship. It'll be with the Lord. That'll be that relationship. But me and Amy sat down on our couch with our children on a Halloween night and led them to the Lord. And we heard them pray the sinner's prayer. And they got to say, I believe God's going to allow me to remember our work together. You know? Now, no, it's not going to be the same, but the work we've done for the Lord, that's for His glory. That brought Him glory. And so, again, the relationships we have with our spouses, with our children, with our parents, you know, how is that going to work? I don't know. But it's going to be better than what it is here now. Right? That's the promise there. Isaiah 25:8. He will destroy death forever. The Lord will wipe away every tear from the face and remove His people's disgrace from the whole earth, for the Lord has spoken it. That's part of why it's going to be destroyed in fire. You know, when it comes, that it's all going to be burned up. And it blows my mind how far our sin has carried. When you think about the Hubble telescope and all those things that's floating out there. You know, they say around our planet is like a junkyard. There's so many satellites and all that stuff out there. Hey, He's going to burn it all, consume it all, and it'll all be brand new. All right, two more and we'll wrap it up. Heaven, these bodies will be no more. We'll be given a celestial or a body made for heaven. Just like He's given us a body here made of, think about it. What do we eat? We eat bananas with potassium in them, with iron and all that different kind of stuff. Why? Because that's what our bodies are made of. We have to have that. That's the environment we live in. But when we get to heaven, it's going to be completely different. And we know this. We've got something to compare it to, because we're going to be just like Jesus. We're going to be given a body just like His. The glorified, resurrected body. And if you remember, it had abilities that the natural body, or what we know as the human body, did not have, as He was able to walk through walls. He was able to just disappear from one place and appear in the other. I mean, it's going to be an amazing thing. But how is it going to work? You know, is it going to have, will we have DNA there? You know, that's the kind of stuff that, have you ever thought about that? Is there DNA in heaven? Write a thesis paper on that one, buddy. You get your doctorate with that. But, you know, it's going to be tangible. We'll be able to feel it, touch it. And the promise goes up. Remember Job? Job said, I know that I will see my Redeemer in my flesh. I think I've got that. Hold on. Job 19:25 and following. But I know my Redeemer liveth and will stand on this dust at last. Even after my skin has been destroyed, yet I will see God in my flesh. I will see him myself. My eyes will look at him, and not as a stranger. My heart longs within me. That's how far the promise of heaven and the glorified bodies goes back. So, praise God. When we get to heaven, we won't hurt no more. There won't be no need for doctors, chiropractors, morgues, anything like that. All of that's going to be a memory. And then the last thing is, and this one probably could fill up all of eternity by itself. And that is that heaven is where we will eternally be with Christ Jesus. And again, think about that. We don't know what color his hair was. The Bible says in Revelation it was white. But I don't believe that's a physical description there at the beginning of Revelation chapter 1. But how did his eyes brown, green, what color were they? Was his beard reddish, orange, anything like that? But there's one day we're going to be able to see him and to know him better than we've ever thought we ever could. Revelations 1:23. Then I heard a voice from the throne, look, God is dwelling with humanity and he will live with them. They will be his people and God himself will be with them and will be their God. That's been God's desire all the way back to the garden, remember? Remember, he would come and he would walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. They would have conversations and discussions. He wants to have that close one-on-one relationship. And that's what all of heaven is about. He created it as a place for us. Isn't it John 14? I'm going to prepare. You can't come with me right now. I'm going to build a home for all of us at my daddy's house. But I'm coming back to get you. And so as we think about all this death that's going around, and you know, death is a part of life. It is what it is, and we're not promised tomorrow. I mean, we could wake up in glory in any moment. So why not begin to think about it? And I'm not saying we shouldn't grieve over our loved ones and we shouldn't be broken. Jesus himself stood at the graves of loved ones and wept and knows how it feels. But he also said over in Psalms 116, verse 15, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. It is valuable to him. And we should see it as valuable. And we should consider our home, because the more we think about something, the more familiar we are with things, the more comfortable we are. And so all of us are going, Lord willing, be in heaven one day. So we might as well go ahead and start getting comfortable with the thought of moving from this place to our eternal home. All right, what's your thoughts on heaven tonight? You want to go? Okay, just making sure. Any other thoughts before we close out? Do continue to, like we said, there's still some things that they bury loved ones and say for the final farewell, so pray for them. All right. Brother Ken, would you close us out in a word of prayer? Again, thank you to all those that did the cooking, and also sowing bees. The closets are done. Brother Keith and Brother Kay got the new closets put up.